Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. This is Matthew 13, 3-9, and 18-23, the parable of the sower. And Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble and persecution arise on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but then the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. May God bless the reading of this word. May we hear a word for us today on October 30th, 2016. Well, a little preamble before I begin. The reason I tell personal stories. The reason is not to draw attention to myself. Lord knows that in this profession there's enough attention drawn to me already. That's one of the liabilities of this job. I presume every job has its liabilities, but anyway, that's not the reason I tell personal stories. The reason is that some years ago I was influenced by the author and pastor Fred Buechner. And what Fred Buechner says often is that anybody who teaches about the Bible cannot focus just on the text and its context in history, because that will give the false impression that our faith is about history and it is something in the past. But Fred Buechner says emphatically that we have to be clear that this is a living faith and that it is alive today. And that the same spirit that that inspired the Gospels also inspires us in our life today. So that's the reason why I tell personal stories. The theme for stewardship is, you'll see the banner here that was created by Marilyn Wellick. It says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news in deeds." And then it says, "Indeed!" exclamation point. This was a creative theme for our 2016 stewardship. And today is the first day of our stewardship campaign, which will conclude on Sunday, November 20th. And we're looking forward to that. There's going to be a number of speakers, aside from me, who are going to say what they love about this church and why this church is an important priority for them. Well, our scripture reading today is the parable of the sower, and this this parable talks about a sower, and I love that image, the image of a sower. In one of the things that put this image and just implanted it in my mind is the painting by Van Gogh. There's a print of it in my mom's prayer room. And in that painting, Van Gogh has a sower who is scattering seed, and behind him is this luminous sun, and it's just beautiful colors, and it always puts that sower into my imagination when I think about my mother's prayer room. And in this parable, the sower goes out and sows seed. Some of the seed falls on rocky ground, and it has just a shallow root. So when the plants spring up, the rains come and the storms come and wash those plants away. There's other plants that are grown among thorns, and the thorns grow simultaneously with those plants and choke the plants and prevent them from being nourished. Then there's other seeds that are thrown on the path, and there the birds come and eat up the seeds. But finally, there are those seeds that fall on good soil. They take good solid root, and they bear fruit. Some of them 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, is the seed that falls on good soil and bears good fruit. Well, one of the things that matters to me most when I think about stewardship is the inspiration that we have to be good stewards. What inspires us? When I've asked people over the years, and I've asked them, why is stewardship important to you? Oftentimes what they will say is that they had somebody in their life, they had a mentor or a teacher or a grandparent or someone who lived generously and inspired them to be good stewards. And so I want to lift up today the person who has inspired me, and that is my dad. My dad was a sower of seeds, like our parable today, and throughout his life he scattered seed, and sometimes those seeds of generosity created an abundance, and sometimes less. But he always went out and spread generosity in one form or another. And one of the things that is inherent in this story of the sower is that we never know if these seeds are going to take root and take off or not. So there's always an element of risk when we scatter seed. And there's always a sense of uncertainty whether the seeds are actually going to take root. But we step forward in faith and we continue to scatter seed, because that is what we do as sowers. And each one of us in this room is a sower. Whether it is conscious or whether it is unconscious, each of us has core values that we pass along to the people we love, we pass along to our family and to our community. Each of us in our own way sows seeds all the time. Sometimes those seeds fall on deaf ears and nobody runs with it at all. But then other times, somebody really grabs a seed that we have and just takes off with it beyond what we ever imagined. And that's the adventure of sowing these seeds. You just never know. And I think that's one of the excitements about being a minister too, is you just never know when you touch someone. You never know how that's gonna take root or have an effect, or the ripple effects that it might have in future generations. I think that's the exciting thing about being a sower. Well, the person who inspires me in generosity is my dad. And my dad started out with a vision, and his vision was that he wanted to help developing countries to feed themselves. And part of the reason for this vision was that when he was growing up, there was terrible stories of starvation in various developing countries. And he would always think to themselves, you know, these people, if they had the right tools, they could feed themselves and they could be independent. And my dad was big about independence and about, just having self-reliance. And so he wanted these developing countries to be able to feed themselves so they wouldn't be so dependent on Europe and the United States, and they could stand on their own too, so to speak. So how this materialized is he went and he got an economics degree, and he ended up in United States Agency for International Development. And what he did in particular is throughout Asia and Africa and South America, he developed loan systems through the banking system that would help farmers to acquire tractors. So when you go into his office, even in this, to this day, you will see on his wall pictures of him with a farmer, and he's got his arm around a farmer, and the farmer is just gleaming, and he's got a smile from ear to ear, and behind them is a shiny new tractor. And these were the moments that my dad just celebrated in his life. They were what he enjoyed the most, to be able to be a part of that process that would deliver a tractor to, and the focus was medium-scale farmers, because these are the ones who would most benefit from these loans. And as a result of these loans, so many farms throughout these various continents, they started to yield an abundant crop, and they started to be able to deliver not only to the nearby cities, but in some cases, even to begin an export business. So my dad is proud of that, and to this day, throughout Africa and Asia and South America, there are still those loan programs in place in many of those regions that my dad developed. Well, one of the things that my parents found out in living overseas, and this is something that I'm sure you found out if you've gone overseas as well, is that $50 in the United States really doesn't make that big of an impact. It doesn't have that much of an effect. But if you take that $50 and you use it in some of these developing countries, it's incredible what $50 can do. Those dollars just stretch beyond the imagination. And one example of this is a friend of my parents, and they tell this story, especially my mother. She particularly relishes this story, that they found out through a friend of a friend about a man named Ferdinand, Fernandez. And Fernandez, he was a tailor, and he was working for another man, and he was poor, and he worked 10-hour days, and he still couldn't provide for his family in the way he wanted. And he shared with somebody that he had a dream of owning his own sewing machine. And if he was able to do that, he could start a cottage industry in his own house, and he could start his own business. And that was his dream, but he was so impoverished that he couldn't afford a sewing machine. So my parents heard about this, and they decided, let's buy him a sewing machine. So they got him a Singer sewing machine, a brand new sewing machine. They presented it to him. And my mother said that she will always, for the rest of her life, remember Fernandez's face when he received that sewing machine. It was just this look of complete grace, of gratitude, and it made such a huge impact in that family. He started that cottage industry with that one sewing machine. He was able to provide for his family. He restored dignity to himself and even to his extended family. He was able to provide because of that sewing machine and because of their industry. So one little sewing machine, which in the West we wouldn't make that much of, it became something amazing in that context. So my dad, when he came back to the United States, my parents started going to St. George's Church, which was an Episcopal church. And about a year after we began going to that church, my dad went to a stewardship conference. And at the stewardship conference, he was inspired to begin tithing. And he and my mom prayed about it, and they decided, yes, we're going to tithe. But like most things, when my parents take something on, they're usually unorthodox in their approach. So most people, when they start tithing, they just give 10% to the church, period. My parents decided that they were going to set aside a portion of the tithe, and it was going to be a discretionary fund that they would give as they felt inspired. And one particular woman that I remembered that was an inspiration for this discretionary fund was a woman named Beverly, who lived across town in Arlington, Virginia. And my dad heard about through the church that she had had a particularly rough week, where she had a really big auto repair bill, and her washing machine had gone out in the same week. She had enough money in savings to pay for her auto repairs, but she did not have enough money to buy a washing machine. And she was a busy woman, but what she decided to do is she was going to go to the laundromat and wash her clothes there until she could save up enough money for a washing machine. Well, my dad heard about this. He got together with a friend at St. George's Church. They had the whole thing planned out. They went to Sears. They got a brand new washing machine. They put it in the pickup truck. They delivered it to Beverly driveway. They deposited it there in the driveway with a note on it that says, "To Beverly with love from a member of St. George's Church." Well, my dad learned through the grapevine that when Beverly saw this washing machine, that she burst into tears. It meant so much to her. And she'll never forget that. That is one of the pivotal moments in her life where she experienced just sheer grace. And my dad felt so good about those kind of things, where he was anonymous, nobody ever knew who gave it, but he delighted in the fact that people like Fernandez and people like Beverly, that they would have such an impact from a relatively minor investment. So that's really what I admire most about my dad, is that he always lived generously. And he's the one who inspires me during stewardship campaign to give to the church, because he always gave, and he inspired me in that way. He was very generous when it came to those kinds of things. Well, one of the things that I love about Casas Adobes UCC is that there is a Good Samaritan fund that is well funded. And in my 3 months here at the church, I'm proud to say that there have been people who have come to the church with a specific need. Usually when people come with a need, we send them to Interfaith Community Services, which is a very well-run organization that we contribute to on a regular basis. But sometimes there's extenuating circumstances of people who are intimately connected to this church, and so they come to us with a personal issue. And so in these last 3 months, I've been able to say to one woman, yes, we will pay your water bill. And when I did that, she was afraid that her water was going to get shut off. Her shoulders dropped, the stress in her face dissipated, and I could tell that she just, what she was thinking was, you know, this church has really come through for me. And there was another person who was back on rent because of some extenuating circumstances and medical bills, and we were able to pay part of 1 month's rent. And there was another person who had an electric bill that was way overdue, and we were able to help her with that. And finally, there was a man who couldn't quite make the auto repairs that he needed to make, but we paid off Napa Auto Parts for him. So, you know, to be able to do that, it's a great thing. I think that's so much of what the church is about for me. That's what I learned from my dad. You know, that's a big part of what it means to be church. And if you talk to those people who've been touched in that way, it's made a huge difference for them. And I just, you know, when I think about stewardship, I think about all the amazing things that this church does, whether it's for women in Nogales, or whether it's Habitat for Humanity, or whether it's Keeling School, or whether it's a scholarship fund, and so many other programs. And what I say to you is, you make this happen. It's because of you that we have all these programs. It's because of you that people are able to experience this grace and this generosity. So I give thanks for you today. And you know, these are the kind of stories I could stand up here and I could go on and on, because that's what I love about the church. There was a church that I served recently, and there was a woman who was fastidious about cleanliness in her apartment, but she had a cast on because she had broken her arm and she couldn't clean her apartment. Well, there was a couple guys in the church who got wind of this, and they showed up at the woman's door, and they knocked on her door. They came into her apartment. They cleaned her apartment for her. And that woman will never forget that. She was amazed by that. And it really told her on a visceral level what church is really about. So I celebrate those things, and I lift them up today as we're in our stewardship campaign. And at an exploring membership gathering, someone asked me, they said, Amos, is stewardship, is it just about money? Is it just about the money that we give? And I said, oh no. I said, it's about our time that we give to our community. It's about our talent that we give to our community. And it's about our treasure. So if we think about, if we just visit those things briefly, time, I think, is all about the calendar. You can tell so much about what somebody's core values are by looking at their daily planner and their calendar. Those two documents do not lie. That is what somebody really values, what they're going to push everything aside in order to do. So if this is a community that we love, and I know it is, then we're going to invest our time in this community. And then the talent, you know, people have asked me also in exploring membership, membership, they say, well, there's so many different things I could do for the church. What should I do? And I say, you should do the thing that you love the most. I say, you know, some people just have a gift with children. Other people don't. Some people have a gift with financial planning. Other people don't. Some people have a gift with hospitality and serving people food. They love it. It makes their day. Other people would rather not. So whatever it is that you really enjoy, I think whatever you give to the church should be a joy. It should be something that you enjoy doing, and it's something that you already would do on your own and that you love, and now you can give it to the church. I also tell people in the exploring membership gatherings, I say, you know, just give whatever you can of time and talent and treasure. It's not, you know, it's not a fixed thing, but just give whatever you can. And whatever you can give, don't give out of obligation, because that's not where it's at. You have to give because you love this community. You value this community, you prioritize this community. That's why we give, because we love the community. So those are some of my thoughts on stewardship. And we will have speakers in the Sundays following up to November 20th, and each of them will have their own particular approach. But what I hope that you get from my message today is I would like you to think about who it is in your life, who it is in your history, might be in your family, extended family, or church, or whoever. Who is it that inspires you to live generously? Think about that person. And as I sit down with Chris and we think about what we're going to give in the coming year and what our family can do, I'm going to be thinking about those instances where my dad, he just turned the lights on and he just lived generously and lived large. And I'm going to remember those things. So I encourage you also to remember those people who inspire you. So our story today is the parable of the sower. And what we pray, what we ask for today is that when we sow our seeds of time and our seeds of talent and our seeds of treasure, when we sow them into this community, may those seeds fall on good soil. May they take root. May they be solid. May they be well planted. And may they deliver an abundant crop. And we never know which seeds are going to really take off and which not. But we pray that these seeds will take off. Will the people say amen? Amen.